From NPR and WVUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. President Obama said today he is sending up to 300 U.S. military advisors to Iraq to work more closely with the Iraqi government to battle extremist rebels who have been rapidly advancing toward Baghdad from the country's north. The president also emphasized that no combat troops will be sent to fight in Iraq. He said the crisis there has to be solved by Iraqis.
American combat troops are not going to be fighting in Iraq again. We do not have the ability to simply solve this problem by sending in tens of thousands of troops and committing the kinds of blood and treasure that has already been expended in Iraq. Ultimately, this is something that is going to have to be solved by the Iraqis.
For more on this, let's bring in Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs. He's with us from his office at the Council on Foreign Relations. Gideon, you were listening. What did you hear?
Well, I heard a president who basically is not going to go back into Iraq, but also realizes that he needs to do something, and he probably should do something. And so he is trying to chart a sort of middle course, a sort of modest involvement of military aid and advisory potential that doesn't, in fact, suck us back into a quagmire.
A middle course, but what about those people in this country who are saying, don't get involved at all anymore, don't do it at all? Do you think the president made a case to those people of why the United States has an interest in getting involved?
I think he didn't necessarily. I mean, he tried to make that case a little bit, but the president's words and his mood music were slightly different, I think, because he really does not want to re-engage the Iraq war to reverse the course of his administration's policy, which has been to withdraw. He doesn't want to do that for a whole variety of reasons, substantive as well as political. On the other hand, Iraq, we don't want it to fall into chaos, and we don't want the government to collapse. And so he's trying to provide some kinds of help that will actually address the situation on the ground. And I think that that kind of dilemma, how do you help in some way that might be constructive, but not take over the problem yourself or get locked into it deeply, is the line he's trying to walk, a careful middle ground.
Well, let's play it out. How does it help in Iraq? How does it help the Shiite-led government in Iraq to have 300 or so U.S. military advisors helping to train the Iraqi army?
Well, see, here's what happened. The Shiite government is basically acting very badly in a sectarian manner and alienating the other communities in Iraq. This creates the possibility for disaffected Sunnis to go over to the radical jihadists in groups like ISIS or ISIL that the president talked about. And it means that the army ends up, in effect, having only Shiites who will fight for it, with the Sunnis often defecting. And the trick for the United States is, how do you get the Iraqi government to deal, on the one hand, with the real challenge to it by the radical jihadists, but at the same time reform its own actions so that it acts like a much better, more effective and competent and healthy national unity government? And so what he's trying to do is not just fight the bad guys on the ground, but also get the Iraqi government to change its ways. And so he's trying to use the carrot of American support militarily to extract some changes on behavior on the part of the government in Baghdad.
Well, and he specifically did not call for the prime minister of Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki, to resign.
Well, I don't think that, you know, we have the power to determine the government in Iraq.
But he could have said, we don't have confidence in him anymore.
But he doesn't want to write off Iraq entirely. And so this is the challenge. You don't want to write it off and you don't want to get sucked in. And so what he's trying to do is manage it in a little bit from the outside with a limited liability approach, limited aid and limited liability.
What can Maliki do now, do you think, to satisfy the United States and keep them willing to provide the support to his government that they appear willing to do?
You know, I would that Maliki thought of the problem that way. Unfortunately, he doesn't see satisfying the United States as the top of his agenda. He's worried about his own power base inside Iraq. He's worried about Iran's support more than America's. He wants help from the United States, but it's not so desperate that he's going to suddenly change his spots. This is a classic example of the local allies and proxies that you have to deal with being the worst part of your own argument, because they are not doing what's necessary to make their own case and their own job doing it well.
Well, what did you make of what the president had to say about Iran? He said that it is important for Iran to avoid steps that might encourage the kind of sectarian splits that might lead to civil war in Iraq. But it did appear that he was hoping for some kind of support from Iran.
You know, it's a weird situation. The United States and Iran have the same enemies inside Iraq, the radical Sunni jihadists and ISIS. And to a certain extent, they have the same allies, the current government in Baghdad. But we want that government to do different things. The Iranians want Maliki's government to act like a Shia sectarian force, and the United States wants Maliki's government to act in a more broadly based way. So we and the Iranians are kind of in agreement on some things, but not others, and Obama is also managing negotiations on the nuclear front with Iran and so forth. So he's being very careful and nuanced in his treatment of Iran on this, which, by the way, is the right way to go, I think.
Now, Gideon Rose, do you think the president made a case that this ISIS threat in Iraq is also a threat to the United States?
Well, this is the problem, because there's a potential future threat if you have a safe haven run by crazy jihadis. We know what could happen. It did happen on 9/11, if that gets out of control. On the other hand, how much are you prepared to do in the present in order to hold off some nebulous future threat and keep it even further at bay? That's the question. I don't know if the president himself has a good answer to that one.
Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.